Welcome to the Small Caps Podcast, where we discuss news and information related to ASX-listed companies and financial markets, keeping investors informed. Note that the content in this podcast is not financial or investment advice, and be sure to head over to smallcaps.com.au to get the latest market news. Now, without further delay, here's today's podcast.
Welcome back to Small Caps. My name is Kerry Stevenson, and today I'm excited because we're bringing you a company that has listed today on the ASX. Drum roll, the company name, Munga Gold. The ASX code is MMG. Joining me today is the non-executive chairman of Munga Gold, Peret Shapiro. Peret, it's great to see you. And first of all, congratulations on the listing. That's pretty exciting. Big smile on your face.
Yeah, thank you. It's been a lot of work over the last 6 or 7 months to get to the place we are today, and really excited to be on the boards.
Yep, on the boards today. So I'm excited to be chatting to you because there's lots to talk about. You're over in Western Australia with some projects there. And yep. I think it's, you know, you've got a tight market cap. We'll go through all of that. You've raised $5 million. But, you know, your market cap's very low and there's some exciting projects. So if you could just start with a brief overview and then we'll dig into the detail.
Sure. So these projects that we've acquired in Munga Gold, they've actually been spun out of Taurian Resources. Taurian is blessed with a number of high quality projects, but being a small company that it is only able to really focus its investment on its flagship project in Leonora. And decided to maximize its shareholder value. The best way of doing that with some of its other projects would be to spin them off or JV them. So what's happened with the Munga project, instead of Taurian raising, you know, $4 or $5 million in Taurian to explore the Munga project, it spun it off into Munga Gold, which is what we're talking about today. And in return for that, Taurian received about 10.5% of Munga Gold and retains a 20% JV interest in the projects until a BFS would be completed. That means, however, that Munga Gold has acquired these projects for quite a low valuation and is able to utilize the money that it's raised to fully explore these projects. These projects are brownfield projects for the most part. They have got historical good result intercepts, which I'll talk about, I'm sure you'll ask me about soon, and really excited to get working on it and to hit the ground running.
I can feel your excitement coming over the Zoom call. Well, there's three projects in total. You've got Mount Munga North, Mount Munga South, and Gibraltar. But Mount Munga North is your initial focus, isn't it? And you're going to start drilling there.
Yeah, so Mount Munga North is our flagship project at this stage. The reason is because it has the most extensive historical exploration that we're able to follow up on and to, you know, further prove up. So it's located about 50 kilometers southeast of Kalgoorlie, which obviously location is great. It's pretty much sealed road all the way down to the projects from Kalgoorlie. And it's got some really good historical intercepts, like, you know, 3 meters at 11.8 grams per ton from 9 meters, 3 meters at 21 grams per ton from 24 meters. So those are some pretty decent gold numbers that we've got out there that we'll be actively looking to chase up. And at the moment, we've recently hired an exploration manager for Munga Gold, a full-time exploration manager. We were systematically going through the historical data, building models, so that when we do put a drill rig out there in the coming weeks, I would hope, latest by the end of the quarter, we'll be able to best target that and get maximum bang for our exploration buck. So Munga North, from the historical perspective, it also runs along strike of some of Silver Lake and now Black Cat's open pits. So the Wombola Dam, which got 27,000 ounces, they pulled 27,000 ounces out of that open pit. And I think Black Cat's going back there to expand that pit. So it sits very close and a long strike to that. And the region is quite, it's the Kalgoorlie region, it's the goldfields, it's quite a prolific region. And just in that area, that hosts the Silver Lake's Daisy Milana complex. And it's been, about 1.6 million ounces pulled out of that region historically. So it's a great region. It's got some great historical results as well to follow up on. And we're really excited about continuing that exploration and, bringing fresh eyes to the project.
You talk about the historical workings that were done out there. Was Mount Munger North originally with Silver Lake? Did they have that project many years ago?
It was with Silver Lake many years ago. I'm not 100% sure of the history of the project in terms of the ownership of it. I believe Newmont had it for a period as well back in the day. Silver Lake's had it. And then obviously it's gone through to Torreon and then down to Munger Gold.
Okay. So you mentioned you're going to be starting drilling latest at the, have you got a drill rig, you know, because everybody out there knows, you know, the industry's pretty busy at the moment. You know, can you get your hands on a rig to start this? I guess it's RC drilling that you're going to be doing.
Yeah, RC drilling. Yeah, like we're fairly confident we can get ourselves a rig. That's one of the advantages of also kind of being a sister company in a sense to Torreon and having a good relationship with them is, you know, not being far away from their projects allows us to borrow a rig from them should we need it at a certain time or secure our own so that we have, I guess, multiple options that we could explore in terms of drilling in the coming weeks and months.
How much data do you have? You know, because obviously it was in the Torreon Resources stable for a while. Had they done a lot of soil sampling and the like out there in more recent times?
Yeah, so recent times, Torreon's done some soil sampling, some rock chip sampling as well, which has also got some pretty good results there in terms of the grades on those rock chips. So there was data done, you know, some work done from Torreon. So all that data has obviously been retained and stored. And so we're working with quite a significant amount of data to follow up on these projects, which have never really been properly explored in the past. It's always kind of been someone's, you know, someone's project without ever being a flagship. And what happens then is, you know, typically companies might just put minimum expenditure into the project without actually taking it seriously. And at Munga, obviously, what our intention is to take these projects as seriously as we possibly can and to work them as well as we can, because we know the area is a great area. It's got some really high grade deposits. It's produced a lot of gold. And what's to say that we won't be able to do the same thing?
Well, you said you mentioned a couple of intercepts from before with good strong grades. Mm-hmm. Is that where you're going to be focusing to begin with, or and how big is Mount Munger North? What's the tenement look like? How big is it?
So, you asked me a question in terms of the size. I can't remember off the top of my head, but it's in the prospectus there. If you want to be able to bring that up, in terms of the targets, so we've got two primary targets, which is over the areas which I mentioned. in Mount Munger, at Munger North. So those are targets obviously developed based on historical intercepts and results and geological workings. And then there are some other targets there as well, which have more limited historical data, not to say they're not prospective, just to say that the historicals aren't, there hasn't been as much work done there. So it obviously it's a little bit more greenfield. And when we talk about spending funds, we want to spend our money in a place where we would anticipate we would get the best bang for our buck. And that's why obviously the targets that have the greatest historical data is where we'll be putting in our money.
Yeah, well, it's good to hear. Biggest bang for the buck. That's what we like to hear. Are we talking deep drilling? I mean, what are we talking about? 50
well,
years, 100?
Yeah. Yeah, the looking at the historical intercepts, it seems to be all within about 100 metres. So I wouldn't anticipate we'd do drilling that would exceed that. But obviously that will be determined based on the geological advice that we receive and the interpretation of the data and building some 3D models around that.
Right. Well, Mount Munger North is your focus. Are you going to be doing, because you've got three projects, you've got also Mount Munger South and Gibraltar. I feel like Gibraltar shouldn't be in there because Munger Gold's got Mount Munger North, Mount Munger South. You're going to have to rename Gibraltar to Munger West.
Yeah, well, it's a different region. Well, it's the same region but different area. Yeah. So I guess Mount Munger South is probably the most greenfield of our projects, limited historical exploration, and we will be, you know, following up on that and doing some work there as well to work out exactly what we've got on that at that project. You know, in terms of a potential drilling campaign, that would be determined based on the geological interpretation of the region and its prospectivity. Very early days, as I said, very greenfield, limited historical exploration. So, you know, we'll see how we go. You know, if we get some good early results out there from whether it's soil sampling or whether it's a geophysical or geophysics data, then you know, we might go ahead and spend more money out there. But initially, as I mentioned earlier, the bulk of our funds will be spent at Monga North. But again, that's where we're going to get the biggest bang for our buck. Gibraltar is, I guess, a little bit in the middle. It's got some greenfield, some brownfield. Torian's done a little bit of work out at Gibraltar as well. And there's some good historical intercepts, particularly in the northern part of Gibraltar. Gibraltar's located in the Coolgardie region, so it's northwest of Kalgoorlie. It's, again, quite a well-endowed region out there. There are some pretty good prospects with some historical with some good historical results. So we will be following that up as well with the drilling and anticipated drilling program to begin by the end of this year at Gibraltar.
Just curious, Torian has decided to spin these off and they're keeping a percentage, you know, 10.5%, I think you said, in Monga Gold as well as the JV. And you've got, as I said, Monga North, Monga South. Why Gibraltar as well? I mean, what was the thinking behind that?
Same thing. So again, Torian, as I said, had a number of projects, quite a lot of tenure. And for a small company like Torian, it simply can't afford to explore all of those projects simultaneously. And the best way to maximize Torian shareholder value would be to maintain an interest in the project at a free carried level. So Gibraltar, same concept as Monga North and South, to allow Torian to focus on its flagship project, and then for Monga Gold to raise its own funds to explore these projects moving forward.
Okay, so let's you've listed today. That's pretty exciting. Let's just talk about the capital structure and where you see the value for those that are listening that don't know about Monga Gold. You know, obviously they're not a Torian shareholder in the past. Maybe they haven't heard about it. What's the capital structure? You've raised $5 million. Let's just go through that a little bit and where's the value?
Sure. So I think speaking with other people, with brokers, with other investors, this is really the cheapest IPO that they've ever seen or ever heard of.
Really?
There will be a total of 28 million shares on issue. So that brings the market cap to $5.6 million. And having raised $5 million of cash, that's an enterprise value of $600,000 before costs. So that's incredibly, incredibly low. We deliberately kept it that way. We had $10 million of demand in IPO, but we deliberately wanted to raise as little as possible so we can keep that capital structure as tight as possible. And you don't have to be a genius to work out that with a very, very small amount of shares on issue, it doesn't take a lot for investors to make a lot of money. So just, you know, as an example, at 20 cents per share, which is, by the way, where everybody's invested in. There's no pre-IPO shares. There's no free shares given out. So no one's making money below 20 cents. So it's a really level playing field there. At 20 cents per share with 5.6 million market cap, a 20 million market cap, which is not unheard of for a small exploration company with some decent results, that would be a share price of about 71 cents per share. So that's 3.5 times the money. So from an investor's point of view, the upside is quite incredible due to the low number of shares on issue. The downside is obviously quite limited because obviously with $5 million in cash, going below 18, 17 cents, you're basically at cash backing. And, you know, even down the track, once the money is spent, you know, for the company to be at, you know, 14 or 15 cents, that's a $3, $4 million market cap, which is, you know, almost a shell valuation. So the downside, I believe, is quite limited at this stage, considering the low number of shares on issue, and the upside is you know, obviously highly leveraged. And I think that provides a great opportunity for investors to get in at a highly leveraged opportunity at this stage. I should clarify, Torian has 3 million shares, which is included in the 28 million. They got those shares in exchange for the project, but those shares are escrowed. So they obviously cannot be sold in the market, I think at least for 12 months. So from that perspective, as I said, a very tight capital structure, a tight register, top 20 hold about 70% of the company. And, you know, we're really excited to help make this company grow.
So, yeah, and I can hear you excited. So Torian, there was no cash paid for these projects. They got shares in this new company.
Correct. I'll just clarify something I said earlier. So the top 20 have 62% of the register, not 70%. Torian received 3 million shares, which worked out to be about 10.7% in the company.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
You said a moment ago that you could have raised 10 million. I'm curious as to why, if that was there, because, you know, IPOs are going quite well at the moment. That would have put you in a really strong position to not have to go back to the market in, say, 6-12 months. Was there a reason to keep it as tight as you have, not raise the 10 if the demand was there?
Yeah, because if you raise 10 million, then our market cap is double. And the whole strategy here was to keep a really, really tight shell, a really, really tight company and a really tight capital structure. And by doing that, you're providing your investors with the greatest possible leverage. Yes, we will have to go back to the market for cash, I wouldn't say in 6 months or 12 months, considering we have a very, very low burn rate in terms of salaries and corporate costs. You know, just in terms of directors fees, for example, all directors are on, there's three directors, three non-executive directors, and cumulatively, it's about $100,000 a year for all three. So okay, it's quite a low corporate cost from that perspective. We wanted to keep the market cap and the enterprise value as low as possible, because then you could have the greatest growth at the upside. And down the track, when we, I guess, need to raise money, maybe in 18 months or 2 years or whenever that might be, hopefully we'd be at a much higher level. And instead of raising money at 20 cents, we'd be looking to raising money at, who knows, 40, 50, 60 cents a dollar, whatever that price is, obviously depending on our results moving forward. But we felt that, yes, it's easy to just take the money while it's there. But at the same time, our strategy is, and this comes from our why and what we believe in, the reason why we're doing this is to make shareholders money, is to grow shareholder wealth. And to do that, a tight capital structure is the best way forward.
It was music to my ears to hear that three directors the overheads, the costs of those are within a reasonable. I mean, and I say this to people all the time, have a look how much the directors are taking out of the company. So congratulations. I mean, as an investor, that is music to my ears, because actually what you're doing is you're putting shareholder funds into the ground to build up this gold resource.
Yep. Absolutely. And that's what we're here to do. And you know what, as a director, I'll make a lot more money personally, by putting more money in the ground and building up and as obviously I'm a shareholder as well in the company, by putting money into the ground and building a great business, then pulling out a little bit extra in director's fees, you know, that's not sustainable. And that's not a way of building shareholder wealth.
Well done. With the 5 million, you talked about the fact that the initial focus is on Mount Munger North. Mm-hmm. Are some of those funds going to be going into the other projects? Just give us all a bit of an understanding of where this money is going to be spent over time.
So obviously there'd be the listing fees that would have to be spent. But yeah, the money will be spent across all three projects.
Okay.
I guess the significant portion of the funds will be the Mount Munger North, as we've expounded on, is the most, at this stage, the most prospective of the projects due to the historical data. There will, however, also be funds spent at Munger South and at Gibraltar. I'd say if you had to rank it in order of funds spent, you'd have Munger North, Gibraltar and Munger South.
Ah, okay. All right. With Gibraltar in the Coolgardie region, just remind me again, how much working has been done on Gibraltar? Very much?
There has been significant work out there. There's been some RC drilling out there. I think some air core drilling back in the day as well. Soil sampling is also an old heap leach pad. So,
Pamela.
Yes, at Pamela, that's correct. And so again, something else that we'd like to look into. There might be a bit of a cash flow opportunity there, but I guess it depends on the economics of it. And it's something which, yeah, there have been historical gold intercepts there. I don't have the numbers in front of me at the moment, but if you're interested as an investor, definitely look at that in the prospectus. It's all there in the independent geos report. And it's something that we will be following up on.
In terms of time frame, obviously, again, you've just listed today, so there's a big tick. With Gibraltar, are we talking a few months down the line, or are you going to immediately start to have a look up there? Because that's a different region.
We've already started looking there. I mean, over the last week, as I mentioned earlier, we've recently hired a full-time exploration manager who's been looking at all the projects. And that's where we've determined that Munger North would be our flagship and the one that we'd be spending a significant portion of our funds in the immediate term. But moving forward, yes, we definitely will hopefully our intention is to have a drill rig at Gibraltar by the end of the year.
By the end of the year. Perfect. All right. Any final comments? Because we're running out of time. Any final comments to our listeners out there on this historical day of the listing or getting onto the boards, ASX code MMG Munga Gold? Any final comments for our listeners?
Yeah, final comments are thank you to everyone that's participated in the raise. Thank you for your patience. You know, it's taken us a while to get here, considering the amount of corporate activity that's taken on at the moment by the ASX. So it has taken some time. So thank you for your patience. Thank you for your support. Our intention as directors and as management is to grow shareholder wealth. And that can be clearly demonstrated in the fact that we've turned back a lot of money in order to build that structure that we've embarked on, our low corporate costs, and moving ahead. That's hopefully what we intend to be able to do, is to build shareholder wealth, and we will do whatever it takes to get there. And thank you for those that have invested and those that will invest in the future and putting your trust in us.
Well, as we said before, you know, it's a very exciting time for you. We've got projects in Kalgoorlie, ladies and gentlemen, and Coolgardie, Munga Gold, ASX code MMG. Peretz Shapiro, non-executive chairman, thanks for joining me on Small Caps today.
Thank you very much.